heart, mind, and strength. You're listening to Heart, Mind, and Strength with Catholic psychotherapist and author Dr. Gregory Popcheck and his wife and co-author Lisa Popcheck. Every weekday at this time, Greg, Lisa, and friends help you find faith-filled answers to questions about marriage, parenting, and the people who drive you nuts. So join us for the next hour as we explore how to love and serve the Lord with our whole heart, mind, and strength.
Love you, Lord, with my heart, mind, and strength.
Hello, everyone. You are listening to Heart, Mind, and Strength. I'm your host, Catholic psychotherapist, author, Dr. Greg Popcheck.
And I'm Greg's co-host, Catholic family life coach, Lisa Popcheck.
And we've got a lot planned for the program today. Mainly, we're talking with you, our favorite guests in the whole wide world. So pick up the phone and give us a call, because we can't call you. You got to call us, 877-573-7825.
Only Kara and us know that reference.
Well, yeah, that's sort of an inside joke. There's a business in town who's in Steubenville, who has horrible commercials, just awful, awful commercials.
You'd think they were a joke if you didn't, you know, know.
They're like, they're made with a handy cam and like, you know, it's just awful. It's somebody.
Well, and it literally, the whole commercial reminds me of an old Hee-Haw episode.
It is,
where
you're
just saying, oh, they're just picking on the hill, but you know, it's just, oh, it's a joke. It wasn't a joke.
And anybody who's ever been to Franciscan and watched Franciscan University and like watched television
as our dear Carrie Coulter has,
and their tagline is, remember, you can't call us, we've got to call, or we can't call you got to call us.
Well, we're not going to say it in that accent. And we're not going to come fix your basement, but we are going to help you fix your life if you give us a call. 877-573-7825.
Because we can't call you, you got to call us.
Oh, you're hurting my head.
I'm sorry, this isn't funny for anybody else except us. Radio at exceptionalmarriages.com is the email address you can shoot your emails to. But we are here for you. Whatever you are going through in your life, if you're having a tough time today in your marriage, if you're struggling in parenting stuff, if your work is just driving you crazy, if your children are making you nuts, if your spouse, don't even get me started. Look, the good news is, there are faithful and, more to the point, practical and effective ways to deal with all those problems. Let's stop dithering. Let's get down to business so that you can end this day in a better place than you started it. 877-573-7825. 877-573-7825. Also, and we were going to start with this article at the very top of the show, but we decided to put it off for a few minutes. We're taking a look at a new study on procrastination, why people do it and how you can overcome it. We'll find out a little bit more about that in a little while. We'll get around to it.
Eventually. Maybe, if we feel like it.
We'll see. So that's all the good stuff that's coming up on Heart, Mind, and Strength today. And a lot more of that kind of humor where that came from.
People are groaning too hard to call in. 877-573-7825. Stop the bad jokes. Give us a call. Give us something better to talk about than Greg's bad jokes.
Stop me from talking. You talk. Call in. Oh, good Lord. We've got a lot of snow here. Well, I don't know if it's a lot. It's like 12
not
feet.
Not compared to our listeners in Michigan. It's nothing like that at all.
Did Michigan get a lot of snow?
And constantly. I mean,
and New York,
on.
How about the Buffalo area?
I don't know what Buffalo got. Our Buffalo listeners are going to have to call us and tell us, but Kara's saying in Michigan it's still snowing right now. We didn't expect it, and it kind of got dumped all at once, and it was neat. It snowed all day yesterday. As I said during the show, the kids were out. I thought they were building a snowman. They were not. They were building a snow moose. They built our son, our 16-year-old son, who's our oldest, is about, 6'1" now?
He's getting taller and taller,
He's about 6'1" at last measure. It might be taller than that. And so he built this with his sisters, but he, of course, had to do the top of it, this snow moose that's about 2.5 inches taller than him, because, of course, he could stretch his hands that big. And I said, it was really sweet. I went out after the show to, you know, take tons of pictures of the kids playing in the snow and check out what I thought was the snowman. And here it's this snow moose with big branches for antlers. And somebody, God love them. Somebody thought that planting a magnolia tree in our yard in Ohio that has cold winters was a good idea. That somehow this,
it's living. It's been
it
there
is.
For
I don't know
3 years now.
It's,
I mean,
never bloomed.
No, it's never bloomed once.
But it's got beautiful leaves. And so now the moose ears are two magnolia leaves. It's really, it's an adorable moose. And I said to my son, I said, why a snow moose? And it was the sweetest thing, because here's a 16-year-old boy, and I'm telling you, I have always said this, if you've got a teenager, now, our teenager, he happened to always have been a very good kid, but I have realized in the last year and a half that the antidote to any kind of grouchy teenage boy kind of, you know, solitude attitude is to get him a baby sister. Because this kid lights up when he does anything for his baby sister. And so I said to him, why the snow moose? And he said, because Lily's favorite book now is Give a Moose a Muffin. And so I built her the moose from Give a Moose a Muffin. It was the cutest thing to not only see this moose, but to have a 16-year-old put in all the work just to make a almost 3-year-old happy, which I thought was really, really, really cool.
It was really sweet.
So they were all out there building the snow moose and having a good time, and now we've got a lot of snow, which we have not had so far this season. So it's
No, this is the first time.
And what is really fun is that as many people did last year, last winter, which was Lily's first ever winter, because she is from a province in China that is known as one of the four furnaces of China. It like never gets below 100 degrees where our daughter originates from. And last year was her first winter with snow, but we, along with many people in the nation, got that horrible flu that locked everybody down for like 3 or 4 months. Where people in Steubenville, we lost last winter, I think it was 5 people under the age of 35 died in the course of about 4 weeks from that flu. And we got it. You had a very near-death experience.
Too,
it was very
it was
scary.
Awful.
And so we did not have the baby out in the snow all last winter, and we had a lot of snow, but we never took her out to play in the snow because nobody was well enough for any length of time to
there
do
that. There
was that
one time. We built a 12-foot snowman last year.
She was
year.
Asleep.
But
she,
you're right. Yeah, she
you and
night.
Jake and Rachel did that like right before, like the night before Christmas Eve.
You're right. Actually.
And you built like a 12-foot snowman. You
got
actually got a ladder
up, yeah.
out, and we have the pictures of it, but Lily was asleep
yeah,
and just
that.
Had a surprise in the morning and did not get to go play out in the snow at all. She never experienced it, so yesterday was really her first big playing out in the snow.
They're making snowy. Angels
she just loved him.
Anyway, but we have a show to get on with, don't we?
Or we
things
can
to
continue
do.
To talk
we
about
can,
our
yeah, we can keep putting, and we can keep putting off the procrastination article.
That's what we're doing.
That's
we're procrastinating
we're doing.
About the procrastination.
Because there's something else to talk about. We just felt like we were something else more interesting to us to do, so we're just not getting around to the show. 877.
Can we make our point any harder?
877-573-7825 is the toll-free number to call for good advice. And bad jokes. 877-573-7825.
We need some prayer so we can get ourselves, you know, in the light of God so we can get this show moving and
what
give
you mean
the
is,
people the
what
grace
you mean
they
is we need.
Need
an exorcism.
Well.
That too. In the name of the Father, and of the Son,
and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we come into your presence and we thank you for the opportunity you are giving us to spend this time with you and with all the good people who are tuning in right now. Lord, we ask your blessing on this hour, that it would be a time of blessing for everybody who is listening, and especially those who are struggling today in some area of their life or relationships. Because, Lord, making it through the day, much less making it through life, is hard. It really is. And I know that you know that. But in those times where we feel that we are on our last drop of energy, remind us, Lord, help us to remember that what we need to do is call out to you. Because when we call out to you, you will fill our hearts with your love. You will fill our minds with the peace that surpasses all understanding. You will strengthen us with your grace so that we can continue the journey, not on our power, but on yours. And so now, Lord, we ask you to remake us in your image. We ask you to remake our homes in your grace. And we ask you to help us to find the path that leads to the abundant life to which you came to call us. And we ask all of this in the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Mary, seat of wisdom.
Please, Mother, pray for us.
Well, we'll be taking your calls in just a few at 877-573-7825. Also talking about that procrastination article when we get around to it. But first, it's time for Living in the Word, where we take a look at a verse from Scripture that encourages us and helps us remember God's faithfulness and our response. It does something or another. I can't really quite remember what it is at the moment. I'm tripping over myself.
You are really having a day.
It's just not coming together. This is not going to be one of those best of shows.
No. Not happening.
Oh, just put a big note down there on the notepad.
On
there,
the journal honey. Here.
Yeah, not to
don't repeat
this show. All right, it's time for Living in the Word, where we look at a verse from Scripture that reminds us of God's faithfulness and our response. This week's Living in the Word comes to us from Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Let us come to God's presence with confidence, because we will find mercy and strength when we need it. Well, thank the Lord for that, because there are so many times when we do need that mercy and we do need that strength. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I forget. You know, sometimes I feel like I have used up all my mercy credits with the Lord. You know, this next mess up that I've managed to pull off, that's the one where God's going to just send me the note that says, "Sorry, your credit has overextended with me, and I'm turning off your mercy." Fortunately, I've not gotten that notice, and I don't believe that I ever will, especially if St. Faustina is to be believed, and especially if this verse from Scripture is to be believed. But we need to keep it close to our hearts. And in fact, I'm going to ask you to commit this verse to God's your memory, so that God's Word can be a comfort to you in your time of need. Again, it's Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Let us come to God's presence with confidence, because we will find mercy, and we will find strength when we need it. Amen.
Amen.
Good stuff. Well, we're taking your calls at 877-573-7825. Again, that toll-free number, 877-573-7825. The call is free. The advice is even freer, but we are happy to help with tough marriage, family, and personal crises, whatever the struggle is. But we've managed to put it off long enough. We finally do have to get down to it, I'm afraid. The procrastination article. Procrastination is a huge issue, and it is an extremely costly one. Putting things off leads to not only a loss of productivity, but all sorts of hand-wringing and regrets and damaged self-esteem. And, you know, it's because of that, we shrinks love to study what's up with this procrastination thing anyway. What goes on in the mind that makes it so hard to actually follow through with what we set out to do? There was an interesting study done in Germany at the University of Konstanz where we're taking a look at how people think about a project when they are first assigned it and their ability to complete that project. And they found some very interesting results that I think will be very helpful for anybody who does struggle with procrastination. Basically what happened was the psychologists handed out questionnaires to a group of students, freshman college students basically being the lab rats for clinical psychologists, and asked them to respond by email within 3 weeks. And all these questions had to do with, you know, basically mundane tasks like opening a bank account or keeping a diary. But different students were given different instructions for how to answer the questions. So some of the subjects thought and wrote about each activity and you know, what they applied about personal traits, what kind of person has a bank account, for example. Others wrote simply about the nuts and bolts of doing each activity, right? Speaking to a bank officer, filling out the forms, making an initial deposit, and so forth. The idea was to get some students just thinking abstractly and generally about the project, while others thinking concretely. And the psychologists were wondering, you know, who will be more likely to complete the tasks, the people who thought abstractly about the task assignment, or the people who thought more concretely about how and when to get it done. In some cases, the psychologists waited and waited and waited to find out if the students actually did this. They recorded all the response times to see if there was a difference between the two groups, and there was a big difference. In fact, the difference was quite huge. Even though all the students were being paid upon completion, all right, so they were being paid to do this. Those who thought...
Well, many of us are paid to be getting, you know, work projects done, and we still procrastinate about them, so it's not like that's a big shock.
Well, so what happened was that those who thought about the questions abstractly were much more likely to procrastinate, and in fact, some never got around to the assignment at all. By contrast, those who focused on the how and the when and the where of doing the task when they were first given the task emailed their responses much sooner, suggested that they hopped right on the assignment rather than delaying it. So what does that tell us about procrastination? What it says is that a lot of what determines whether we're going to procrastinate or not is that when we first get the idea or are first assigned something, how do we think about it? How do we manage it? If we just sort of think about it in general terms, oh, yes, that would be an interesting thing to do, or yes, that would be a good thing or an important thing to get done. Yeah, I'll have to get to that. We never will. But if in that moment we actually sit down and think, all right, I might not be getting to it right now, but here's what I would have to do to get it done, and here's when I might get it done, and here's how I might get it done, just by thinking more concretely at the time that we are assigned the activity, it increases the likelihood that we'll actually follow through in a reasonable time period.
Well, of course, this is something that we as parents can really train our children to do. If they come home and they say, you know, oh, Mommy, I have a book report that I have to do, and it's due in 2 weeks. A lot of us, as we're busy, you know, handling the other kids and paying the bills and making the dinner, will go, oh, okay. And we expect that the teacher has given the child that kind of schedule. Read this many pages a day, you know, write this note card for each chapter that gives it a summary so that you can put it together, whatever. And we think the teacher will have done that. Well, most of the time, they just assign the book and say, give us a report in 2 weeks. But if we can say, okay, tonight, you know, at homework time, we're going to sit down and look at the book, see exactly how many pages there are. We're going to see how many pages a night you'll have to read to get it done on time to give you at least 3 days to actually work on the assignment. You know, here are the note cards. I want you to take notes on important plot points. I want you to put notes down on what your feelings were in different chapters so you can put them in your book report. This is the plan. If we start training our kids to do that, then we're giving them a life skill that's going to last for life and not only apply to their academic life, but how to run their household, how to have a decent business, all of those things that are really important life skills that most of us have a very hard time coming by. You don't. You can speak to this, you know, from a personal experience. I have never known anyone who does exactly what this article has determined, exactly what this study has determined, as well as you do. People marvel
at how
much you
get done. Honestly, I don't
know
how I came into it, though. Because
no, because
kid,
you have the most procrastinating parents in the world.
Well, no, and as a kid,
and you never, you didn't have these skills, which is something that when our caller, you know, our callers often will call in and say, I have this kid who's, you know, just malingering and he's driving me crazy and I'm afraid he's
going to succeed. Well, that guy the other day who called in with his kid who's a musician who never did anything, and that was totally me.
I just want to say, take a breath, it'll work out, you know, as long as you keep encouraging and you keep helping them with the skills, and it requires helping as a parent, but people are amazed at how much you get done, how many client numbers you see during the day. You've written, what, 8 books in like 8 years. You've, you know, advanced your education. You run the household with the kids. You do all of these things, and people go, how do you do it all? And it's truly because whenever you get a new project, a new article, a new book, a new whatever it is, you have that plan. You say immediately, I have to write this many pages a night, and this is where I'm going to fit in my time for date nights with each of the kids based on this new schedule, and this is where we're going to... You always come up with a plan, and you don't work it in a way that we all feel like we're in a military camp, but you just keep yourself to it so you don't crack up and you're managing to meet everybody's needs, and you succeed beautifully at it. I'm not as good at it as you are, but I'm getting there. And you do a magnificent job, and it proves that it really does work to come up with that kind of a plan.
And I'll say this. I mean, you know, I rarely write things down. I'm not a schedule person. I'm not a, you know, as you say, I'm not an organizational Nazi. I'm pretty right-brained when it comes to all that stuff. But the one thing I do is just by nature is what this study talks about. Whenever I get an assignment, when I get something that comes across my desk, the first thing I do have to try to figure out is, okay, what exactly is this going to take and when am I going to get it done? And I find that just sort of by mentally organizing things, for me, it really just increases that likelihood that I will get it done and will more or less get it done on time as well. So, you know, look, if you're struggling with procrastination, if you're struggling with following through, the secret may not be, you know, actually starting to work on it right then. The secret might just be thinking about the project a little bit differently so that you have a plan in place and aren't just thinking abstractly, but rather thinking concretely about how, when, and what you need to do
and,
to finish your task.
Yeah, and very briefly, because we're running against time, we really do need to do that and say, okay, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to sit down and have a cup of coffee and give myself a chance to breathe deeply and then make a plan. instead of going to the place where most of us do in our heads, where either we groan and postpone or we panic and never get to something. And so taking that deep breath, coming up with a written plan, and then working it in baby steps is really the solution to it all.
With that, we have to take a break, but when we come back, we are taking your calls about this or any other topic. Don't delay. Don't put off the call. Don't procrastinate. Think now about what it's going to take to dial those numbers so that you are more likely to make the call happen, just like the research study said.
First step, find your phone. Second step, remember, 877-573-7825.
Third step, actually push the buttons.
Yeah.
Don't just remember the number.
Yeah.
Push the buttons.
Push the buttons. And
then
say hi.
Hi.
Carol, take it from there.
We'll coach you the rest of the way. 877-573-7825. Our email address is radio@exceptionalmarriages.com. If you're struggling in your marriage, if you're struggling with your kids, if you're having a tough time with that big gray blob between your ears and you just can't quite get it online, we can help you sort all that stuff out. 877-573-7825, radio@exceptionalmarriages.com. We'll be back with you, your questions, comments, and insights right after this.
Good day, I'm Al Cresta. If you go by what the mainstream media says, the future looks pretty dim. There's a lot of gloom and doom out there. But that's not the Catholic way of approaching things. In fact, at Ave Maria Radio, the future sounds great. And that's because we know that we're broadcasting the most hopeful message of all time. Christ is risen. And that's really good news. Our children and grandchildren need to hear that. And we want to be there to broadcast that message for them when they're ready to hear it. And that time is coming. So let's prepare for the future today. Together we can spread the only real hope there is. The Ave Maria Radio Spring Membership Drive is coming up April 20th through the 24th. Join us, won't you? Tune in, make a pledge of support, and let's not let the naysayers have their way. Let's be men and women of faith, hope, and charity. The dates, again, are April 20th through the 24th, and with your help, we can make certain that the future will always sound great.
The Ave Maria Communications Guild invites you to activate your faith. All are welcome to Madonna University's Spring Fling Friday, April 24th at Laurel Manor Conference Center in Livonia. The evening will include great food, live music, and auction items. Support your local Catholic university by calling 734-432-5602. That's 734-432-5602. Don't miss the free movie night at St. Joan of Arc in St. Clair Shores, Saturday, April 25th. The movie, Fireproof, is an inspirational countercultural film that shows marriage is worth fighting for. So bring your spouse and hold hands while enjoying the movie. For further details, call 586-777-3670. You can find many more events at our website, avemariaradio.net. To become a member of the Guild, call 877-288-1077. Catholic Radio, it's yours to keep and to grow.
You're listening to the best of Heart, Mind, and Strength.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Heart, Mind, and Strength, and I'm your host, Lisa Popcheck.
I'm Dr. Greg Popcheck, and we are taking your calls right now. Our toll-free number is 877-573-7825. Again, that number, 877-573-7825. 573-7825. Our email address?
radio@exceptionalmarriages.com.
With that, let's go to the phones. Lisa, who's up?
We're going to Cindy in Cape Coral, Florida.
Hey there, Cindy. Welcome to Heart, Mind, and Strength.
Hi, how are you?
Doing just fine, thanks. What's up?
I was just calling. I was brought up Catholic, and I just was always taught that God was always there for us if we wanted to ask for forgiveness and repent of our sins.
Yep.
And I just wanted to know, because I heard somebody speak about how we can lose our salvation, and I just wanted to get some more information on that. Is that true if there's a repentant sinner, or is there some things that there is no forgiveness for?
No, it's a matter of not seeking the forgiveness, right? I mean, I can lose my salvation if I don't want a relationship with God. But it's the same thing with a relationship with you, Cindy. I mean, if I you know, do something horrible to you, and then I... you know, don't take your calls, you know, have I lost my relationship with you? Absolutely. Right. Does that mean that if I come back to you and I say, gosh, I was a complete jerk, I'm terribly sorry, will you please take me back? You know, you'll have some kind of a friendship with me, hopefully, if you have a generous heart. And it's the same way with God, right?
You know, of course, and with God, it's not some
right.
kind of a friendship.
No,
He's all merciful, and so, you know, you say, God, I really blew it, please take me back, I'm sorry, I have a contrite spirit and a humble heart. He'll take you back, big time. But there are many of us who allow either Satan whispering in our ears telling us that, you know, God will forgive everyone, even those who murdered him on the cross. But you, he doesn't like you because you look funny. So, no, you're not eligible for that mercy. And no. Satan will tell each and every one of us that at some point in our lives. Our job is to work hard to not buy into the lie. And also, you know, the things that will separate us from God in grave ways. Of course, all of us fall into sin, but there are grave sins that really do kill our soul. And if we don't get ourselves into the sacrament of reconciliation and really get ourselves washed clean of that, then it does put a separation between us and Christ to the point of actually losing our salvation. That's very much our choice.
Yeah, so it's not that God withholds his grace or withholds his salvation from us. It's that we refuse it and don't seek it. If we return to him and seek it, then of course he's there to forgive us any time. Does that help answer your question, Cindy?
Yes, it does. Thank you so much.
You bet. God bless. Thanks so much for the call. 877-573-7825. 877-573-7825. Our email address?
radio@exceptionalmarriages.com.
And with that, let's go to our next call. Lisa, who's on deck?
We're going to Ellen in Michigan, Greg.
Ellen in Michigan. Welcome to the program. What's up? Ellen, are you there?
Yes.
Hey, there she is. Hi, Ellen. What's up?
Hi. I was just wondering if, first, I need prayer, but second, I was wondering if where my place as an ex-spouse in recognizing that my ex-husband possibly has, like, a bipolar disorder or some kind of manic depressive thing. He had a episode where he had just had a mental breakdown.
Mm.
If the closest I can come to is that he was possessed by the devil, as far as how he was talking erratically, doing some very strange things.
Hmm.
I wasn't witnessing it in the room, but I could hear him, and I sat up for like 4 hours just listening to him go nuts, basically.
It sounds terrifying.
And I guess that's my question is,
what's your obligation?
Well, the family has had two family members since I have divorced him that have been diagnosed with bipolar disorder. I understand that runs in families, and I want to be able to have the strength to call them.
And obviously there's a lot of history there, I'm sure. When you think about calling his family to say, look, this is what I saw, I have some concerns, I just wanted to let somebody know because he's not willing to go to the doctor. That's the deal, right? You've tried to talk to him directly about getting help, and he's not willing to go?
Right.
Are you still there? Okay, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what it says on the board. But what's the history there with the family? Are you concerned that they wouldn't receive
that
information?
Well, they blame me for the marriage problems, and he also has alcoholic tendencies, which is typical with that type of disorder, if it is that disorder.
Mm-hmm.
And, so when I married him, I didn't know he was an alcoholic, and
if he's not willing to seek help, then what you want to do is you do need to convey to somebody what you saw. I would stay away from the clinical labels because people will sometimes react defensively whenever you start throwing around, well, I think he's bipolar, or I think, you know, you get the reaction, well, who do you think you are, you know, Dr. Freud, you know. But what you do is you just call them up and say, listen, you know, this is what happened, this is what I saw. I know that you think that I, you know, you may think that I'm exaggerating or whatever, but take it for what it's worth. But I wanted to let somebody know because I had some real concerns about this. He's not willing to get it checked out. I just, in good conscience, did not feel right about not letting somebody know so they could keep an eye on him.
You know, Ellen, I need to ask you a question. It says on my board that you were staying there because of the snow, so you were stuck there. And then, of course, you're telling us that this is what you heard for almost 4 hours.
Right.
What is it that kept you from picking up the phone and actually calling the police department and saying, I'm really, really concerned about my friend, my ex-husband. This is what I'm hearing, and I'm wondering if we don't need to get an ambulance and get him to a hospital. What stopped you from doing that?
Well, it's called barricading yourself in for your own self-preservation. I was terrified that perhaps he was going to hurt me. I didn't have a telephone in the room with me.
Okay.
I barricaded the dresser up against the door.
Oh, my. So you were, this was really terrifying.
So you were really terrified, and you did not have a phone.
All right.
No, and I did have my tennis shoes, though, so I put those on, and I put a pair of jeans over my pajamas just in case I had to bolt.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
Okay.
I was that scared, and I will never stay there again. It was just because we had a snowstorm, and I thought it was easier to get to work if I stayed at the house, and I shouldn't have.
Well, I think, you know, you're not obliged to necessarily do anything except encourage him to get help, but I think it would be a very good thing for you to contact whoever is closest to him and just say, look, this is what I saw. I wanted somebody else to be aware of it because he's not willing to get the help that I think that he might need. I don't know whether you'll believe me or not, but take it for what it's worth. I didn't feel right just leaving it alone. I wanted somebody to know. Hope all of you are well.
Quick follow-up on this, Ellen. Do you have children together?
No.
Okay, thank God.
But I had children from a prior marriage.
But he has no visitation with them or any of that?
No, there it
goes.
Okay.
That at least sets my mind at rest that everyone is safe in the situation.
That's what I would follow up with for right now, though, Ellen. If there's anything else we can do for you here, don't hesitate to give us another call.
Thank you
so
much for your help.
You bet. Well, we're going to take a break right now. When we come back, more with your calls at 877-573-7825. Again, that toll-free number, 877-573-7825. The email address?
radio@exceptionalmarriages.com.
Whatever you're struggling with, we're here to help with faith-filled answers to those and many other difficult questions. Give us a call, 877-573-7825. We'll be back with you right after this.
At Ave Maria Mutual Funds, investing is far more than a numbers game. Investment performance is of utmost importance, and equally so are issues such as abortion and pornography. Chances are, these are important to you as well. To learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Fund's pro-life investing strategies and our investment results, the number is 1-866-AVE-MARIA, or visit www.avemariafunds.com. Ave Maria Mutual Funds can help you feel good about your investment decisions, smart investing, and Catholic values. Performance data quoted represents past performance, which is no guarantee of future results. Investment return and principal value are historical and may fluctuate so that the redemption value may be worth more or less the original cost. Prospective investors should read the prospectus carefully and consider the fund's investment objectives, risk, charges, and expenses carefully before investing. The prospectus, which can be obtained by calling 1-866-AVE-MARIA or online at avemariafund.com, contains this and other information. Distributed by Ultimus Fund Distributors, LLC.
This is Father John Carafi, inviting you to join me August 15, 2009, at HSBC Arena in Buffalo, New York, for a one-day conference entitled Lord and Giver of Life. For more information and to register, visit FatherCarafiLive.com or call 1-888-223-6000. I look forward to seeing you Saturday, August 15, 2009.
Missed a show? Not sure if it came from Ave Maria Radio? Go to AveMariaRadio.net. A list of shows and hosts are there. And if you find the show you're looking for, you can hear the whole thing again by going through the Ave Maria Radio audio archives. For 2 years, we've recorded nearly every show from Ave Maria Radio. Just click on the audio archives message located at the center of our homepage. Now you even have more reasons to become a radioactive Catholic by going to AveMariaRadio.net.
You're listening to the best of Heart, Mind, and Strength.
Welcome back to Heart, Mind, and Strength. You're listening to Greg and Lisa Popcheck, and we're taking your calls at 877-573-7825.
Again, that toll-free number, 877-573-7825. Our email address is radio@exceptionalmarriages.com. But before we return to your calls, it's time once again for Letters from Home, where we take a brief look at the writings of a brother or sister in the Lord who's gone before us as a way of encouraging us on our journey toward our heavenly home. And today, our letter comes to us from St. Dorotheos of Gaza, who actually was a wise abbot, known for his counsel in the 6th sixth century. That's not as easy as you might think it is to say. And he has some good counsel for us. He says, someone who is lighting a fire first sets a spark to the tinder. This is some brother's provoking remark. Of what consequence is that brother's remark? Well, if you put up with it, then the spark goes out. But if you go on thinking, hey, why did he say that to me? Then you add a little bit of wood to that flame, and you produce some smoke, which results in a disturbance of the mind. And this disturbance floods the mind with thoughts and emotions which stimulate the heart and embolden it to vengeance. St. Dorotheos of Gaza is reminding us that, you know, sometimes it's okay just to let things go. And, you know, well, yesterday, of course, we had a little quote from St. Gregory the Great who was saying, yeah, sometimes it's okay to not let things go. The difference is when you have something that is starting to burn in your heart, something that is really starting to percolate, then you need to address it. Charitably, of course, but you need to address it. But if it's something that you can let go, if it's something that you can sit with for a little while and pray through, so much the better. That's today's letter from home from St. Dorotheos of Gaza. With that, let's return to your calls at 877-573-7825. Lisa, who's up next?
Carrie in Michigan.
Carrie in Michigan, welcome to the program.
Hi.
Hi, what's up?
Well, I was just calling to follow up. I had my husband and myself and my daughter had all talked to you a few
Yes, we did back. A family session on the radio, I remember.
Yes.
Yeah. What can we do for you today?
Well, you had suggested that I check into an anti-bullying policy in the school.
Oh,
and,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
I had to sort of search, and it took me a while to find out, but it's actually like within the school's code of conduct, but mm-hmm. it does not really say anything about what students should do about it, like what my daughter should do in response. It basically just says like what the school will do when incidents happen.
Okay.
So I followed up with the teacher and the principal and just said to them, what would you like me to tell my daughter to do when something happens, like some kind of teasing or verbal interaction? And neither of them replied. So then my daughter came home a couple weeks later and was upset about a different child teasing her, and I emailed the teacher and asked for her feedback and said that I was disappointed that neither her nor the principal responded to my other email. And she basically explained what had happened, and there was more information that made it more clear to me. And my daughter was upset about a couple other things, like she had not completed some work she should have done and then sort of got reprimanded for that. So there was like a buildup to it. And she basically said that my daughter seems to be more sensitive than some of the other kids to the teasing, and that even if she, stops the problem and has the child apologize to my daughter, she's still not happy with that. Like, my daughter will still be upset and come home and tell me about what happened. So I'm wondering if there's something I can do to help my daughter to be more, like, to be more forgiving, I guess, and to be able to move on once mm-hmm. once it is handled. It seems like the teacher is making efforts to try to handle these situations,
okay.
but she's not satisfied.
one follow-up question. Do you see this at home, where she maybe, if you upset her or frustrate her in some way, that she has a difficult time getting herself reset after that stress?
Yes, sometimes, definitely.
Okay. So there are three things that I could suggest to you then. First of all, at home, whenever that happens, when she is frustrated or upset and she's having a difficult time re-regulating herself, how do you usually handle that with her?
Well, when she was younger, we did the timeout thing, and now we do still do some timeouts, but then we have her do the four things that you recommend.
That we talk about in the parenting book, okay.
Right. It seems like the bigger problems isn't so much like if she misbehaves, but if, say we're laughing about something and she misinterprets that as us laughing at her.
Mm-hmm.
She can get herself all worked up and say, oh, you're laughing at me, and get herself all upset, and she might just run off to her room and close the door, and we won't even be able to get her to talk to us for a little while. And it's like she seems to overreact.
Mm-hmm.
So when that happens, like sometimes we just sort of wait till she calms down, and then we just, once she's really calmed down, we explain.
Okay.
We weren't laughing at you. We were laughing at what, somebody had said earlier today, or whatever, you know.
Now, what I'd like you to do, in addition to that, then, is kind of replay the scene. I'd like you to practice. In fact, I'd like you to do this with some of these situations that go on at school as well. If you could identify a handful of situations that go on at school, but if they happen, you know, if they're happening right there in the moment, so much the better between you and your daughter. But practice them over again. Okay, so you she calms down, she comes back out, you explain what the deal is, and then you say, now, you know, I know you don't like feeling that way, honey, and I certainly don't want you to have to go to that place where you just really react so strongly. So we're going to practice an appropriate reaction. You know, so your dad and I, or if you're just there, I'm going to laugh about this, and here's how I'd like you to handle it. You just coach her through it, tell her what you want her to do, and actually role play it right there in the moment. And it might sound silly to have to practice a reaction, but the thing is, if she's not given something concrete to do instead, then she's only got her default reaction to fall back to. And so you're teaching her and you're helping train her mind so that it can gravitate towards something new that would be a more appropriate and more resilient response to the feelings that she's having inside. In fact, you might even say to her, okay, I'm laughing now. You're feeling a little bit of that shame or a little bit of that frustration bubbling up inside, but what do you do now? Let's practice that. How do you say it? And you try to get her to say the right tone of voice, to have the right look on her face, and just you know, actually concretely, specifically, demonstrate the behavior that you'd like to see from her.
And you need to do the practice with her. You can't just say, okay, this is how I want you to respond when you feel this way with mom and dad or when you feel this way at school. Because once she gets worked up, her brain's going offline and she doesn't remember those resources. She just remembers the muscle memory of, this is how I've always reacted, therefore this is how I always react. Unless she actually walks through it, it's like any other form of exercise. If you want her to learn how to ice skate, just telling her, okay, this is how you stand on the blades and this is how you push off, she's not going to know how to ice skate. She has to go out there and actually work through it, maybe fall a couple of times, but actually get the muscle memory of how to do it. And so you need to, once she's calm, as you said, even if it's just waiting while she takes her own emotional temperature down, then when the practice will start to kick in over time, and she'll be able to have those skills, whether it's home with you or even in the classroom
right.
situation.
And so, you know, once you do this with some home situations, then you can extend it to a couple of different school situations. Either have her or her teachers identify a few specific interactions that have occurred in the last week or so. So they're still relatively fresh, but distant enough that she's got some perspective on. And then do the same role play with them. You be the kid who says that antagonistic or humorous or teasing thing. You teach her exactly how you want her to respond to it so that it, you know, perhaps is clever, perhaps is funny, perhaps whatever. It's a better response than what she gives, right? And you have her walk through the steps of that. Now, that rehearsal technique, I do outline it in our parenting book. It sounds like you have that, so just kind of review that section in the Everyday Discipline chapter. In addition to that, I'm going to recommend a book by Martin Seligman called The Optimistic Child, which takes a look at how to do these kinds of things as well as help a child work through their own self-talk stuff. Because the things that your daughter is saying inside her head about what these different comments or actions mean is what actually keeps those feelings in play inside of her. So if you can help coach her through that self-talk so that she can replace those false meanings that she's telling herself about with healthier things, then she'll be able to let go of these feelings a lot more quickly. And Seligman goes into more techniques there, and we don't have the time to get into it on the air, but he'll help you out. Now, if those two resources are not helping you after a couple of weeks, then you might want to contact us through the Pastoral Solutions Institute to do some coaching on how to take it a little bit further. Because sometimes it can get a little bit tricky when you got a kid who's having a hard time re-regulating themselves after stress. Some of these these first line defenses don't work, and so it takes a little bit of tailoring. And if you'd like to follow up with that, then you can give us a call at 740-266-6461. I don't really think you'll need to, but it's there if you need a little extra support to help her get through this. Again, that's the number for the Pastoral Solutions Institute telephone counseling practice at 740-266-6461, or you can learn a little bit more about that resource at exceptionalmarriages.com. All right. Thanks so much for the call, Carrie. If there's more that we can do for you in the future, you know where to find us. With that, let's go to our next call. Lisa, who's up?
We're going to Jane in Ohio.
Hi there, Jane. Welcome to the program.
Hi.
Hi, what's up?
I just want to tell you first, I've been listening to you guys for a few years now, and you have really helped me acquire the backbone that I finally need in my life.
Oh, well, wonderful. Praise God for that.
I've been in a relationship with my husband for 22 years.
Mm-hmm.
I unfortunately overlooked a lot of his faults in the beginning and married him anyways. We have three children. We're currently separated mm-hmm. and going through divorce.
I'm sorry.
And he is very distant from us. He's never had much of a relationship with his children. He's involved with drugs and alcohol. I think he's also depressed, but he won't get any kind of help. He wouldn't go to marriage counseling.
Mm-hmm.
I finally started going on my own through Catholic Charities, and I think it really helped to open my eyes to the mess that I'm in. And my concern is he is now seeing the kids every other weekend and Wednesday night visitation, and it's like for the first time they're being forced to have a relationship with him. And they're adjusting somewhat, but it's been difficult for them too. But my concern is, do I bring up in court that he is involved with drugs and alcohol? My counselor seems to think I should, but I guess I just wanted another opinion. Or do
now,
I
now, Jane, come on a minute. You just told us that you've been listening to us for years.
I know.
And you're getting a backbone. What do you think the answer is, sweetheart?
Yeah. I guess
why? Okay, well, we're not going to just tell you. I want you to answer this. Why? Why should you bring this up in court? Tell me.
To protect my children.
You got it. You didn't need to dial this number today. Those kids are now alone with a guy who's doing drugs and alcohol. They are mentally at risk. They are physically at risk. And darn it, you should have made this clear from the moment that this visitation was put into place. You dropped the ball on that. God love you. Pick it up and get this information to the courts as quickly as you can. Because not only are they being forced to have a relationship with a man who is not safe to be with. But later on, if this information is not disclosed and he suddenly decides that either he is going to accuse you of being an unfit mother to try to get the kids, or that he somehow wants to become even more enmeshed in their lives, you're not going to have a leg to stand on unless you make this part of court knowledge now. So run, don't walk to whatever attorney you're using or whatever court representation you can get through to. And yes, absolutely, Jane, you know the answer. Tap into that backbone that you're growing and make it known and protect your children.
I'm going to second everything that Lisa just said, though. Just put a little stamp on that for you. But yes, Jane.
I have brought it up to my lawyer, and he's pretty much, it's up to you what you want to do.
Yeah, I'm not thrilled with your lawyer. Because your lawyer should be saying, you know, come on, you're obviously in a state where you've been through enough emotional abuse that you're not making very clear choices for you and your children out of a place of strength. And as your lawyer, I'm advocating for you and your kids. That being said, you need to advocate for you and your kids and call the lawyer the minute you're off the phone with us and say, I need to protect my kids. This needs to be made known, and I need you to get the court to rework the visitation rights because this is not safe. They need to be in supervised visitation or something where we know that these kids are going to be safe. And walk through the options with the lawyer and pick the one that's the safest for you and your kids.
All right, Jane, I got to let you go with that, but thanks so much for the call. We will certainly put you on our Heart, Mind, and Strength prayer list. We ask all of our HMS prayer warriors to keep Jane and her family and all of those dealing with addiction in their prayers today.
And very quickly, Jane, if this has been going on since the beginning of your marriage, the next step you do is go to a tribunal and start working through the discernment process to see if this was actually a valid marriage in the first place or if all of these addiction problems kept him from ever being able to enter into his vows in a valid way. You owe that to yourself. You owe that healing process through the church to yourself. It will help you uncover an awful lot of your own strength in this situation, whether or not, you know, whatever their findings are, it will really be very healing for you. So do that after you get through this, but call the lawyer now.
With that, we have to take a break. When we come back, more with your calls at 877-573-7825. Stick around, more after this.
This is Life News Radio. I'm Jim Anderson. Prominent pro-life advocates are asking President Barack Obama to withdraw one of his appointees to the White House Council on Faith-Based and Neighborhood Partnerships. They say Harry Knox, the director of the Religion and Faith Program at the Human Rights Campaign, shouldn't be on the panel. Knox has called the Pope a liar, said he was wrong on abstinence and its effectiveness.
Looking further at the annual report Planned Parenthood recently released, Planned Parenthood also says it helped just under 11,000 women in 2007 with prenatal care and pregnancy help services. Yet prenatal care and adoption referrals resulted for only 5% of the total services provided to pregnant women in 2007, while abortions accounted for a whopping 95%, over 305,000 Planned Parenthood abortions. This is Life News Radio.
Thank you for listening to Life News Radio. We hope you benefit from the news stories you hear on this program. We hope you'll be encouraged to advance the cause of life. Volunteer at a crisis pregnancy center, join your local pro-life organization, or register pro-life people to vote. You can also inform your community about pro-life issues. Visit lifenews.com and print out news stories for your friends and family or members of your church. Get involved in the fight for life today.
The president of the University of Notre Dame is again defending his decision to invite pro-abortion President Barack Obama to give the college's commencement address. In yet another statement, Reverend John Jenkins refuses to back down in the face of a document from the nation's Catholic bishops. Jenkins says the rules don't apply to Obama since he isn't Catholic, even though the bishops made no such allowance. This has been Life News Radio. I'm Jim Anderson.
You're listening to the best of Heart, Mind, and Strength.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Heart, Mind, and Strength. I'm your host, Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and we're taking your calls at 877-573-7825. Our email address?
radio@exceptionalmarriages.com. And right now, Greg, we're going to John in Fort Myers, Florida.
John in Fort Myers, welcome to the program.
Hey, how you doing tonight?
Doing just fine, thank you, John. What's up? What can we do for you?
Yeah, I'll make it quick. My sister is with this guy, and they have a long history of drinking and fighting. Finally, the state caught up with it. They had an incident in public. She lost custody of my nephew for a couple of weeks, and my mother got involved. Well, my mother got involved to care for a kid. And my mother's the type of person, she ignores a lot of things. Like, she's done several things. Like, she married my best friend. That's no longer my friend.
Wait a minute. I'm sorry, John. Your mom married your best friend, or your sister married your best friend?
Mother.
Married your best friend.
Yes.
Okay, we're getting a pretty clear picture here. Go on.
Okay, so I try my best. Me and my wife kind of overlooked it after a while. I got over it. My mother, my grandfather's a pedophile, molested me and my sister. She never confronted him with it.
Wow.
She was afraid she was going to be left out of the will. My grandfather was a very wealthy man. I don't want to talk bad about my mom, but it's always been about my mom.
You know, it's not a matter of talking bad about your mom, John. It's a matter of being very clear as to whether somebody is too toxic to really trust with certain aspects of our lives or not. And that clarity is what makes us healthier and safer. So you're not talking bad about your mom. You're just talking facts.
Right. Well, now that I'm going to be 50 in a couple of weeks, I've been, you know, dealing with this a little better. And what had happened is throughout the years with everything, you know, I've always overlooked a lot of stuff. She wasn't really a very good mother and stuff. She was always very self-indulgent. And I told my mother when she took custody of my nephew, I said, Mom, I've been going through this for 10 years with Suzanne and this guy. He beats her. They drink. They're playing for a duke. They had a no contact order. Well, she was still going over to the guy's house to see him. So I told my mother, I said, Ma, you want to close your eyes to a lot of stuff. I said, someday it's going to kill my sister or somebody's going to get hurt. I said, I'm calling the prosecutor up. I'm letting them know that my sister's disobeying the contact order. I said, because if you don't do this, nothing's changed because they've been, you know, they would quit drinking, go to church, this and that. They would always go back to the same.
Now, she told me to give you a heads up. I got 2 minutes here. I want to be able to give you something to go with.
Well,
so.
She told me that if I ever did that, she would never speak to me again and not even come to her funeral. And she meant it, and she did it. And I apologize for getting her upset, but she said she won't talk to me until I apologize for what I did. And in my heart, I just can't do that.
It sounds like you're a lucky man.
No, she's emotionally manipulating you, and you're no great loss. And the only person I'm deeply worried about is the little boy in this situation, who, if you have the wherewithal to sue for custody for, do it. If not, then, you know, we are really in a situation where you have a mother who overlooked a lot of things and allowed you to be hurt, now raising a little boy for your sister who is also hurting this kid in innumerable ways, and I'm concerned for him. In terms of kowtowing to your mother's emotional manipulation, no. No, you're probably the only healthy one in the family, and you've got to stick to your guns.
Yeah, you shouldn't do it. And frankly, enjoy the break that you get from your mother not talking to you. I mean, I really don't mean to be flip.
Frankly, my wife didn't say anything.
Yeah, no, I don't mean to be flip about this, but there are just some people who are just that toxic. I mean, you know, if your mother wants to come to you and repent of all the horrible things that she's done
and allowed to seek help,
then by all means, you should try to rebuild a relationship. But short of that, frankly, I would encourage you to turn to your heavenly mother and leave this earth one behind. God bless you, John. Thanks so much for the call. You know, these cutoffs, I don't recommend these kinds of cutoffs lightly.
Never lightly.
Because, of course, any break in the body of Christ is a very serious thing. But there are just some times when a person is so toxic, so pathological.
And this is not a cutoff just to make John feel better. This is a cutoff in an attempt to facilitate the saving of his sister's life, because the mother is allowing this girl to be abused and to abuse herself through drugs and alcohol, and he's the only one, you know, screaming and trying to call attention and trying to throw a lifesaver into this horrible chaos that the whole family's in the midst of.
Well, and frankly, I mean, this deal between John and his mother, you know, as you correctly pointed out, this is all kinds of emotional manipulation. And if he gives into it, then he basically becomes an enabler in this whole system.
Absolutely.
But
and
if he
knows
stays
it.
Out of it, then he's working for not only, you know, well, he's not only working to protect himself, he's working for his mother's good by saying, Mom, I love you too much to let you play these kinds of emotional games with me.
And as you pointed out, the only one who really is, you know, needing to apologize here is John's mother. From letting this all happen all these years, and she really needs to be held accountable by it.
All right, with that, we are out of time, but I want to thank you all for joining us this hour. It's making it a special time. I hope that it was a blessing for all of you. If you'd like to continue the conversation over at our place, come on over to exceptionalmarriages.com and read excerpts from our books, take our quizzes, find out more about the Pastoral Solutions Institute telephone counseling practice, and lots of other resources to help you live a more faithful and abundant life. Now, get on out there and love the Lord, everybody.
With all your heart, mind, and strength.
God bless you, folks.
You've been listening to Heart, Mind, and Strength with Greg and Lisa Popcheck. Heart, Mind, and Strength is produced by Ave Maria Radio and is supported by the generosity of listeners like you. Tune in every weekday at noon, 11 Central, for more faith-filled answers to life's difficult questions on Heart, Mind, and Strength.
So I choose to love with my heart, mind, and strength. With your precious grace, everything I face, I will overcome with my heart, mind, and strength.
Would you like a copy of this program? If you miss a part of this program or want to hear it again, Ave Maria programming can be made yours when you order. Just call 734-930-4506. Within a few weeks, you'll receive a copy of this show and any others you want to order on CD. Call 734-930-4506.
Ave Maria Radio Spring Membership Drive is April 20th through the 24th, and we need volunteers to help us answer phones. It's fun and it's easy, even if you have never done it before. But you need to call now to reserve your slot on the schedule. Call us today. Give us an hour or two of your time during the week of April 20th through the 24th. Call 877-288-1077. That's 877-288-1077. Help support Catholic Radio and have fun doing it.
This is Father Frank Pavone of Priests for Life. Today, Good Friday, the world again comes to the cross. Jesus was not crucified because of the power of wicked men. He was crucified because of the silence of good men. On the first Good Friday, where was the multitude who had been fed by the 5 loaves and 2 fish? Where were the voices of those who saw Lazarus come out of the tomb or witnessed the man born blind receive his sight? Good Friday reveals the triumph of cowardice and the persuasive power of political calculation. The crucifixion happened because nobody wanted to take a risk. Even though Jesus gave himself freely on the cross, those who betrayed him by their silence and their absence were still guilty of sin. Let's not follow their example. When God needs us, let's speak up and show up. This is Father Frank Pavone on Ave Maria Radio.
How about some word association?
Why not?
Spring.